The Sacred Dynamics podcast explores some of the biggest topics of our time, including the true nature of reality, the healing and awakening process, the evolution of consciousness, deception on the path, natural law, and daring to tackle the greatest of all quests, the journey of self-realization. Through conscious awareness and the law of correspondence, we engage individually and thus collectively in the restoration of humanity, embodying life itself, and our symbolic relationship with nature.
Dear friends and sacred souls, welcome to this fifth episode of the Sacred Dynamics podcast. Thanks for connecting. In our previous episode, we explored the incredible modality of breathwork and how this ancient practice is the ultimate bridge to awareness, coherence, healing, and much more. We talked about why breathwork is so significant. We gave an introduction to various breath types and methods, talked about breath basics and benefits, breath as the profound teacher, its links to awareness, meditation, healing, the healing process, and realization process, and some practical ways to utilize the breath on a daily basis. In this new episode, we are going to talk about how to decode the mind and meditation, liberation, and the difficulties of the busy mind through the simple yet profound. What we'll cover today is, what is the mind? What mind training basics, the mind and frequency, mind versus self, what is meditation really, how and what, who and what is it for, the basics of meditation, some history and traditions, the benefits of meditation, the goal of meditation, different ways to practice, and finally, tips and golden nuggets for our listeners. I mean, this is a huge topic, and yet it seems that many are intimidated by it. Why is that, Jay?
Well, hello, our audience, listeners, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Great start, Ro.
Many yes, things to cover, my
indeed,
friend.
Indeed, indeed. We're going, I'm really grateful and excited about this episode. Really grateful for what people can draw from this. And yeah, as you say, indeed, intimidation arises through a lack of understanding and fear. So, you know, this kind of makes sense here. We can start, you know, by a severe lack in actual inner standing and true education. And of course, this is not by accident. You know, our Western culture has basically been operating in reverse.
Basically.
Outside in, you know, material first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, associating oneself as the body and the stored memories. And that the world is happening to us. This basically places the invisible, or better yet, the inside, in a distant last place.
Of course. Already we are hitting major themes.
Indeed, here. Indeed we are. You know, we've become so caught up in material and, you know, this whole material world and material science in the body and the sensory information and gratification that we've lost contact of our actual identity, of our spiritual essence. We've become essentially phenomena addicts, mm-hmm. and looking outwards, looking for the next hit. And this, of course, is ultimately just a dopamine loop. And, you know, it produces the short high and then the letdown after letdown.
Oof, that's tough, man. But yes, absolutely, the dopamine hit. Indeed. How incredible that we have been operating like this. I mean, it's sometimes unbelievable. And on autopilot, basically.
Yeah.
You know, under deep programming.
You know, generally we seem to be really good at preparing to live. This is, you know, not really good at truly living. We know how to sacrifice 10 years for a diploma, and we're willing to work very hard for a job, for a business, for a house, and so on. But we have great difficulty remembering that we are actually alive in the present moment, the only moment there is for us to be alive.
Wow. It is definitely profound. And, you know, this reminds me of a phrase that Dalai Lama said at some point. He said, man sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he's never going to die, and then dies having never really lived.
Oof.
You know? So then, my friend, what is living? Because, you know, most aren't sure, you know? It's
no
so deep, yeah.
No doubt.
You know. So, you know, the mind is what? Like, what is the mind? How can
we go?
How can we start this conversation?
All right, okay. Well, basically, it's a bundle of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're done.
That's it. Drop the mic. That's the mind.
The field of the mind is a subtle structure within your expression, and we'll get more into that in a minute. And I want to mention that it's really important as a seeker, especially as a mature seeker. And I think we'll find with our audience that there are varying rates of souls that are seeking this. The mature seeker, it's very important to be aware that you are not the body or the mind. And this is a very important step towards this work.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It seems most of us haven't had the time or the attention to place on this topic, no? It's like basically it wasn't in our programs. It wasn't in the original programs we installed.
Yeah, exactly.
Relearning or, as they say, unlearning, no?
Yeah, unlearning, exactly. So, you know, in fact, the fact is that even to refer to yourself, you are subtler than the mind, and the field of the mind is structured within you. And although in advanced stages of this mission, those stages definitely must go beyond the mind, it is one of the most important structures that you have. And thus, it is crucial that you observe and guard the mind with great awareness.
Mm-hmm.
All who are interested in this work, who are truly interested in moving beyond suffering and gaining consciousness, we have to realize the fundamental importance of mastery over the mind structure.
Oof. Yeah, you know, listening to you speak, at one point in my experience, I had no guard protecting my mind. You know, mm-hmm. I remember it clearly. It felt like navigating without control, you know. I could end up anywhere, basically.
Mm. Well, you still don't actually have any control, brother.
Thanks for reminding
yes.
me.
Yes. No, but not just to make a joke. The idea of control comes from the mind.
It's another mindset.
So, and so where will you end up? The thing is that you will end up here and now always. And this is a fact. It's always now. It turns out that your ability to manage the present state is what ultimately matters. Managing the present state.
So we are in the now. We always are in the now, but our mind takes us to the past and the future, like ripping out of us the now present.
Well, it's essentially blocking, it's running a pattern mm-hmm. over top of the present state, because the present state never goes anywhere.
Exactly.
It's always here. Last year at this time, it was now. Next year at this time, it will be now.
Absolutely.
And you will be here and now, wherever that here is. You see?
I see.
So consider the subtle mind structure like a farmer's field. And, you know, one must be vigilant to what is being planted in the field, mm-hmm. in the field of the mind. Because it's the mind, you know, that all anxiety, all fear, all troubles of life, they find their roots there. All troubles of life are rooted within the field of the mind. Did you know that you were a mind farmer, Ro?
Well, you know, wow.
Or you thought you were an entrepreneur?
I thought I was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
You know, I guess I'm a mind farmer. I agree, with a particular attraction on starting projects.
There you go.
So, thus, I'm an entrepreneur. But you know,
yeah.
Well, would that make sense? Actually,
well,
like trees grow from the seed one plants, so everything is in the seed. No.
Okay. So yeah, exactly. Yes, trees grow from seeds as well as out of existing trees. And so what you plant will grow, this indeed. Mm-hmm. And so will what you let others plant in your field.
That's exactly.
Okay. And if you took away, so, and as far as the entrepreneur part, check this out. If you took away the label of entrepreneur and just state that you are attracted to starting projects, this is the creation story.
Hmm. How so?
You're playing out the creator.
Ah. Oof. Wake up call. All right.
Once again, that's what I'm here for.
That's a good point. I think it's a good approach to, you know, make it visible for everyone, like a good example of how this happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
No, this is so important. I mean, you know, what use are the teachings? What use is all the training if you cannot guard the mind? Mm. All teachings, all trainings, all aspiration to discover your own whole nature, your true self-identity will come to nothing if not applied with great alertness. The practice of being and to guard what's planted in the mind. The mind, within our localized system, is a phenomenally fertile place. Whatever is planted in the mind comes to fruit. Always whatever. Remember,
yeah.
The world is coming for your mind.
Oof. So this means that if one considers his or her life to be negative or positive, then one may conclude that his or her thoughts are negative or positive. Would this be a calibration mechanism to determine how negative or positive one's thoughts are? You know.
Well, let's
like if you for instance, if you believe that your whole life is, let me say, quote unquote, terrible. That might be a signal that your thoughts or the seeds that you are allowing to be planted in your mind are in that same
sense. A reflection
sense.
of those plants. So this idea is related to the thought of one's life. Whether see the key here? The thought of one's life, mm-hmm. whether it's positive or negative. Your attention is what creates the boundaries of this moment. With the shifting of the attention, the moment shifts. How expansive your field of awareness is how expansive your moment of consciousness is. So your conscious state is in the here and now, the only place you've ever been or will ever be. When is that, Ro?
It's now.
It's now.
Again.
And so when you say that this person perceives that their life is negative, they're referring to a thought now.
Mm-hmm.
So then if they go, yeah, but then they're going to draw on some memory thought now. It's constantly now. So it's not where you could condemn your life because you're drawing from
exactly.
right now this positive or negative charge.
Nice.
You see?
Yep.
So like last week was now, next year, the third Monday in March. Where will we be, Ro?
We'll be here and now.
We'll be here and now. We'll be in these chairs. This means that if your attention towards thoughts is informing the concept that you are positive or negative, that you're in the past or future, this is the concept. Mm. It's a concept that you're there, but you're actually right now, right?
Yeah.
In your mind, in the memories or your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you are, but you're right now, obscuring now with those concepts.
Correct.
So, you know, the thing is that practice is the activity, and I want to point this out because this is really important. Practice, which we talk about a lot, doing the practice is the activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the state is the level of consciousness.
Right.
And so this state has a progressive quality, and we were talking about this earlier. And that's why we cultivate. What I mean is that it's the attitude in the present that you bring to the practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's that attitude that gets in, that brings you into the practice. The practice itself doesn't increase your consciousness. It's your attitude and your awareness applied.
Towards it.
And then as being applied, this is what starts the progression mm-hmm. of your bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So you're tapping in and it's incrementing with your focused awareness.
Yeah. It's the accumulation of the practice.
Yeah, it's incrementing.
It's incrementing, mm-hmm. yeah. So it adds up, and it's like it's kind of jealous at some point. Let me put it like this. If you stop doing it.
Yeah, then you, well, as soon as you get distracted.
Exactly.
You can drop, you know, it's like let's say that the phi ratio, how it goes exponential. But as soon as you pull out, it drops.
It drops.
So what it requires is, this is very interesting what we're talking about, because what it requires is it requires that you start to lean into awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what is going to create this momentum.
It sustains it.
Because what's happened is that we've been leaning away from unity. We've been leaning into separation. We've been leaning away from mm-hmm. this sequential potentiality or we've been living leaning away from it, which means that it can't progress.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Guard the mind. All is
now. With the practice.
Right? I mean, as we've also discussed this before, and this is really key for our times, because whether it's the marketing machine, whether it's the unhappy, discontent, victim body, embodied souls that are stuck in an extremely discontented vibration with themselves, projecting their discontent mm-hmm. into the world, or the propaganda, or the ideologies, they're all coming for your mind. So for whoever can capture your mind and plant their thought ideas into it will begin to have control of your life.
That's it.
So the fundamental importance of being vigilant of what you plant within the field of your mind and what you allow to be planted within this field, because the world is coming for it.
Oof. And this, it kind of sounds scary.
Well, we're putting it into a pretty clear, Ginsu sharp knife.
Yeah.
But it's what's going on.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And it's very evident once you start looking at how other selves are behaving when they have these type of seeds planted.
Right. Well, just look at the difference between when you are distracted.
Absolutely.
And when you are not distracted. There's a huge difference. You see huge. Someone who's distracted and they're not present. Mm-hmm. They're absent. And so it requires being present. And present is now.
Always.
Right?
Very nice.
So what else were we saying? Oh, we were talking about the propaganda machine, everything you see on social media.
Exactly.
The news, the movies, anything that you interact with, that's what it's coming for. And, you know, as the saying goes, what you sow, you shall reap.
Mm-hmm.
So at any given moment, we have to be vigilant about what seeds are being planted, as said.
Definitely.
Right?
Wow. So let's look at meditation. What is meditation, really? Like,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is up for interpretation, but meditation is essentially various stages of concentration. It's cultivating awareness, as we were referring to, this cultivation process. This leads to your natural, effortless, connected state
mm-hmm.
of self. So meditation is really spontaneously experienced as a result of this intense or extreme focus.
Yeah. I can imagine that if one can't control what seeds they plant in their mind, then it is much more difficult to be able to sit and place extreme focus in meditation.
Yes.
This is part of the learning curve one must go through to learn how to actually meditate.
No question about it. I'm going to throw a curveball here.
Okay.
We're playing baseball.
Let's do it.
Usually we're playing tag. You're it. But we're going to play baseball. I'm throwing a curveball. We don't actually learn to meditate. Meditation is our natural mental state.
Mm.
It's equipoise. We practice holding our awareness in the present, and essentially we dehypnotize our conscious state. So we're in a dehypnotization process. From presence, the practice emerges. This is that progression. Just being now is here. Now doesn't have anything to do with time. Now is another word for awareness.
I love it. Nice way to put it. This is great. It's, again, so simple, so profound, and yet so hard.
I know. It's hard, definitely hard at first. It's about training the quality of your ability to be now, and that's what progresses. So the primary purpose of the meditative state is to cultivate presence. So you're cultivating this present state to become conscious of and familiar with your actual inner life. Mm-hmm. And living right now, as we opened up this podcast with, as now is the only place you can actually increase your consciousness, or AKA evolve.
Evolve. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's, there's a saying in Spanish. I'm going to say it just. It says, de poquito en poquito se llena el jarrito.
All right. Now give our listeners the translation.
Okay. So it's like step by step, you know, it's one step at a time. Don't try to get so much ahead. It's
yes.
Just maintain the practice.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you start with 3 minutes or whatever.
No, you know, just start.
Start.
And when would you start, Ro?
In the now.
Oh, he's got it.
Always in the now.
He's got it. Now is the only time you actually can start, my friends. It's definitely not for those. Oh, by the way, you know, the ultimate purpose, as we were mentioning, is to rediscover the source of life and, you know, our true identity of consciousness itself, to be here and now, to tap into the flow state, which everyone is buzzing all over the place about, hopping in the flow state bus. And, you know, this is really, I'd say that to be fully here and to be now and to recognize your true self is actually the end of meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's still the mind. You're still in mind works.
Absolutely. And it seems that there's really nobody that this practice, you know, that the meditation wouldn't benefit.
Well, it seems so, but it's definitely not for those who prefer suffering, victimhood, not evolving.
Mm.
Not for them.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But anyone has the potential to.
Indeed, that is true. That is definitely true. It's such an important practice in the beginning of this work because, remember, as we say, you have to commandeer the vessel.
100%.
Right?
Who doesn't want to commandeer the vessel?
Well, I mean, again, I'll go back through the list. People who prefer suffering, people who are in the victimhood and not evolving. And it's not to put this down. This is a state of, you know, this is a state of discontent.
Exactly.
Of not knowing one's self. That's what that is.
And this is a way out. Like if you're living in this suffering, victimhood, or anything.
It's the only way out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is it.
The only way out is in, as they say. The basics are profound, brother.
Mm-hmm.
When in meditation, we're basically dehypnotizing ourselves, like I said, from what we've been taught, from childhood, from conditions, from biases, from associations. It prepares the passage for your escape from mental prison. You know, meditation is the cultivation of presence, is to prepare you for the great work,
mm-hmm.
for self-realization. It's not realization itself. You are.
Yeah.
You are. You're it. Yeah, we're back to tag. You get it? So, you know, this and the side effects, I mean, you know, the side effects of meditation are like stress release, healing, flow state, as mentioned, heightened intuition, increased joy, forgiveness, compassion, gratitude. The list goes on. Should I continue with the list? I mean, come on.
It's delicious.
Just hop on it.
It's delicious.
Right. And so, when should someone start this, Ro?
Now. Always now.
Thank you.
So people are really looking for self-liberation, or are they looking for an escape?
Very, very good point. Very good point. I'd say millions of people are interested in some variation of meditation and yoga, and it's increasing, you know, or one of the millions of spiritual activities that are now widely marketed.
Mm-hmm.
The general aim, however, is that people are typically aiming out of desperation to escape busy, unhappy lives. And so then there's this longing for a healthy, stress-free, happy life. And of course, you see, these are all illusions. for it is liberation from the ego mind that's required. So without this mind training, without the meditation, then one is just doing the same thing as throwing the ball forward and saying, just give me something to get out of this deal, right? And their deal is that they can't, they're not okay with now because they're not actually in it. I call it the case of the mistaken identity.
Oof. You know, I'm super glad we're talking about this because let me tell you, I mean, meditation can really have a positive impact in anyone. It's not easy to let go of the programming, that's for sure, but it's totally worth it. It may take some push-ups. We've talked about the push-ups, but the results are super mega valuable, no? Life-changing, I would say.
Yeah, indeed. You know, Ramana Maharshi would say, and this is one of my faves, he says, you are and it is a fact. Meditation is by you, of you, and in you.
Mm.
You know, true meditation, it really settles the mind into your natural state. And that is known as the non-dual state, a blissful, sacred mode of being. It's effortless. It's stable from the mind's fluctuations. And when you achieve this state, this deep state, you can dissolve the mind and grasp your being, because that's, as said earlier, that's the ultimate stage, is that you dissolve and step away from the mind and you are just in the pure eternal joy.
Yeah, wow. When you say our natural state is non-dual state, what do you mean?
So, well, it's becoming more of a term. I mean, there's, you know, I'm referring to the center, equipoise. Duality consciousness is the illusion of subject-object. Mm-hmm. So what? That's where the ego steps in. That's where, you know, it's the idea of things being separate. Because they indeed, in a certain state, they look like everything is separate.
Yeah.
And so then people take on this concept that things are actually separate. And this causes what I call the mistaken identity. And this is where suffering comes from. So, you know, the joy of your true identity is overwhelming. And I'm speaking from experience. And, you know, liberation from the ego mind is the goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, those who haven't given themselves this gift into the pure silence of the true self, they're missing this sense of joy. And this joy is actually our true nature. We're not building something that's not there. We're not creating some character that the new character is happy and peaceful and joyous. This is the ego's trick. Mm-hmm. That's called the spiritual ego.
Yeah.
This is avoiding the work. This is why our contemporary times, people are looking for a pill. They just want the app. They just want, what is the fast track? You know, it's like, I can have anything I want at my fingertips. Give it to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how this works. Each one has to do this. Each one has to step in and bring themselves from this atrophied state, from this state of suffering. And we have to start in this way. We've talked about breath last episode. Now we're getting into the key aspects here. Mind training and meditation are very significant, right?
Definitely. So people really are so addicted to phenomena that they cannot comprehend what meditation or liberation is. It seems this way.
Mm.
They just want to, but cannot let go of the thoughts. You know, it's hard.
Yeah. This is, as mentioned earlier, meditation is our natural state. It's just that one gets caught in the idea, and it's a very virtuous idea in our current times. Mm-hmm. And that's based on the grind, doing, effort, gaining, association with local fleeting phenomena. And meditation isn't gaining. And because of this, letting go is counterintuitive to the Western program, which is gain, gain, gain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it was loosely and roughly expressed that, you know, there was a quote from the Buddha that said, they're like, what did you gain from meditation? He's like, I didn't gain anything, but I can tell you what I lost. And then mentions all of the suffering points.
Amazing.
So, I mean, you know.
That makes so much sense. So essentially we are misunderstanding the process, you know, because we are really operating backwards, so it seems.
Yes, yeah. That's really the case.
This is where the unlearning takes place.
Brother, listen, check this out. You know what all the yoga asanas, the kundalini, the kriyas, the breathwork, the qigong, the ice baths, ecstatic dance, trauma therapies, etc., etc., do you know what they're for? They're to prepare your ability to become completely still and be here and now. So that's anyone who thinks that they're going into those things because that's going to produce this, that's not what it produces. It creates the conditions so one can actually sit and do this.
Yeah. It's crazy because we are like more into thinking thoughts as opposed to releasing thoughts. You know, and sometimes the key is to release. It's always the key.
It's always the key.
It's super counterintuitive. It's crazy.
The thing is that the mind, you know what? The thing is that, and this is really so simple and it's so important. The fact of the matter is that we haven't put the time in to be able to recognize this, but the mind lives in doubt and the heart lives in trust.
That's beautiful.
So trust and surrender are synonymous. And so they're synonymous with the heart. Mm-hmm. So imagine that you're living in the mind and you're wondering why you aren't feeling present, fulfilled. It's because you're not in the heart. You're not in trust. You can't trust when you're in doubt.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
Well said.
So, you know, when you slow down and you become still and quiet, you know, that's kind of where you're able to confirm that life indeed, and this is very, very important, life flows from the inside out, from heart center. This is what we're talking about. This is what getting in touch is. In meditation, we discover that no effort is required to dissolve thoughts. This is contrary to people's idea because people think they need to eliminate the thoughts, fight the thoughts, get rid of the thoughts. No, no. We discover that the very same thoughts that cause all of our problems actually arise by themselves and dissolve by themselves. All we have to do is relax and let them be.
Mm-hmm.
If you relax and rest in this state of the simultaneous rising, abiding, and disappearing of all this, what we're referring to as mental phenomena, one will abide in the natural state. One rests in between the thoughts.
Wow, right.
They're like clouds.
They're
just
like clouds.
Watch them go by.
And that's where the breath work becomes really relevant.
Mm.
It becomes the bridge.
Indeed.
To
indeed.
Get there.
Yeah, you and the breath together. You're the bridge. There was a quote from Jiddu Krishnamurti that was, I thought was interesting. He said, thought shattering itself against its own nothingness is the explosion of meditation. This is saying
I love
these things just blow up and dissolve. You just watch them. It's just so hard not to auto-fund phenomena, you see.
Absolutely.
This is what was mentioned previously. Meditation is essentially various stages of concentration. So we're talking about the mind gym here. This is mm-hmm. the mind training gym. So there's a lot of people out there that hit the gym on the daily. Well, this is not the gym you want to bypass, right? So, you know, this is a beautiful nugget. And, you know, a nugget for the listeners is that at the basic level, perhaps you could relate meditation to some of your experiences that are already taking place in your life. Like, for example, surfing or drawing or dancing, making music, writing, pottery, you name it. Because in those states, you become mesmerized and you're transported and totally lost in the moment. You're lost in the flow and boom, now you have meditation.
Wow. Very nice description. Because, you know, I think everyone has been there at some point
exactly.
in our experience.
Right.
You know, we just need to recognize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the basics aren't actually sitting in full lotus in a cave. No?
The basics, no.
They really begin within our already focused activities.
There you go. That's a nugget. That's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Start with the low-hanging fruit. Mind training is it's a progressive process. We should go, begin as we would. Like, for example, if you were to look at taking over a business, what are you looking at? You're looking at inventory, accounting, right? So what are we doing here? We're checking out the thought inventory, the memory inventory. We're doing some level of accounting, right? We got to figure out what's going on here.
Completely. If meditation it's a mind training gym, and one key aspect is, as you just mentioned, writing down the thoughts, the memories, the inventory in order to recognize patterns that can be skillfully changed. How does yoga relate to all of this?
Well, it's very directly related because in the yogic tradition, yoga itself is really the living process of meditation. And, so in that case, the completion of yoga would be self-realization or going beyond the mind to your true identity. That's what the purpose of it is. So in yogic terms, they would say dharana, which is concentration. It leads to dhyana, which is meditation. So this is kind of the basics. And the fact is that concentration should be, it shouldn't be confused with exertion. Rather, it's a form of like discipline. Mm-hmm. Instead of exertion is where you're putting energy out. And this is not the case. This is a form of discipline.
Yeah, it's a form of discipline where one practices concentration. And in this process, we start to know how our mind work, and thus we can start releasing patterns. Does mm-hmm. that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
At many times one may get frustrated, no?
Oh, yeah. That's okay. I mean, for all those frustrated with the premise of meditation, first, you need to know that it's perfectly normal for the mind to wander during meditative practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal. In fact, meditation is really often confused with the practice of clearing or removing all of one's thoughts or erasing all the negative thoughts. And this is not possible. And, typically this is where beginners get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
They sit down and they're like, no, I can't stop this. I got to distract myself because they're used to being distracted. And so actually, meandering thoughts, in fact, they provide like a cornerstone of practicing. It's like a vital part of the process. Because look, consider this, instead of focusing on the images, shift your focus onto the space between the images.
Mm-hmm.
Release the constant and instant, as I say, instant funding. It's on auto fund of the life force. And it's going towards these phenomena. So you grab a hold of that and watch them as they dissolve. Meanwhile, you get to retain that life force. And that's where there's that incrementation. There's the building of the potential inside. That's where you start to progress.
There it is. So thoughts will come and go, like you mentioned earlier, like clouds on the sky. The goal is to let the thoughts be without interfering with them, without clinging, without attachment.
There it is.
Yeah.
Nice. So, why don't we do this? Why don't we point out kind of the basics? Because there's really kind of like three basic branches,
okay,
we could say, of meditation. So one of them is known as mindfulness. And a lot of people have heard this. A lot of people use like different apps and different things where they put on meditations and, sound therapies now where, some years back it wasn't the thing. Now it's
really popular.
So then they go, oh, mindfulness, I know what that is. And that's really paying, that's absolute attention. It's witnessing all of the sensory information without attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And, many of our listeners have probably heard mindfulness meditations and or practice vipassana.
Mm-hmm.
And vipassana is, it's a pretty, it's a powerful tool. And this is a mindfulness. This is just becoming completely mindful. Now, that's not necessarily the same thing as referring to a concentration practice or a focus practice. Because the idea of the concentration practice is a single point. So instead of focusing without attachment to all that's taking place, because you know mindful, this is like mindless, and so you're going to the single point. And so you know whether it's you're focusing the mind on a flame or a mantra or focusing on the breath. You know, the focus is mind push-ups for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
No? And then the third one, and let me say this, that just to point out, mindfulness and concentration, they end up in the same place. But concentration is kind of a key part of creating this progressive potentiality inside. And then the third step, this is something that that Ramana Maharshi called Mahayoga, or the direct path. And this one, it is by far so simple that you're like, huh? And then at the same token, it's like full black belt. And basically it's that as Ramana says, the true self shines as the source of the mind. Remember, you're the light shining through.
Through, exactly.
And so to turn the mind within towards that source and to abide therein steadfast, this is the true direct way to realize you're going straight to source. So this is basically known as simply being, not being this or that.
Yeah.
And so this is direct realization. This is beyond the subject object. This is, as we were talking about duality, this is going beyond it to the singularity. And it's not a beginner method, as mentioned, because it's like you haven't been able to get a hold of the mind and all of a sudden you're just going to transcend the whole deal right now. The only thing that's holding you back is that your idea that you're so far away from it, but yet it's the ultimate goal of yoga. I mean, it's the ultimate goal of meditation. So, you know, I pointed out because it's like, there are sages that would say, the thing that's the complexity that is in the way between your realization is devised by your mind.
Wow.
You're the one creating the distance between yourself.
Oof. So as you say, Jay, we need to commandeer the vessel, you know, and for that, we need to kind of understand that we have been biased ourselves into amnesia. Basically.
Yeah, that's right. Basically, we've basically biased ourselves towards the association with objective phenomena, you know, in varying degrees from hard objects like the body to soft objects like thoughts and sensations. So,
the material world.
Yeah, this is our association to these. There's just different levels of soft matter. And this strays our attention from presence and from gaining consciousness. And remember, we had mentioned in our last podcast, we were talking about consciousness being that evolution is the gaining of cosmic consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine that you are blocking this expression of your own powerful expression is being blocked. And so consider it like this. In duality, there's subject-object.
Mm-hmm.
Remove all objects. The subject is no longer a subject. It just remains as the formless eternal self.
Correct.
That's the deal. So we associate ourselves to what we are not and believe that it is what we are.
That's some deep level of confusion, man. How did we get so far out? How did we grew apart from these ancient practices?
Oof. You know what? Short answer, cycles.
Cycles.
I'd say at the advanced level, and by the way, the crazy thing about when referring to the advanced level, the advanced stuff is by far the most simple and profound. This is what makes it difficult. Not because they're like, oh, you have to do all these really complex patterns to get out of this deal. Nope. It's the opposite.
Yeah. You just need to sit.
It's the opposite. You're like, what? So, you know, I'm going to quote Ramana again and say that, you know, that this was very, very powerful. He said, all that is needed is to give up thinking of objects other than the self. Meditation is not so much thinking of the self as giving up thinking of the non-self or not self. This is the ego. This is the body. This is actually the not self.
Yeah.
So when you give up thinking of outward objects and prevent your mind from going outwards by turning it inwards and fixing it on the self alone remains. That's what's up.
Yeah.
You are the light shining through, dear listeners. You are the light shining through. So why don't we point out some of the realization traditions? There's some main ones. The Advaita Vedanta, which is one of my faves that I've been following for years and years. The Advaita Vedanta, the Sogen, which we have some experience with over the years as well. Yep. Vipassana, as mentioned, people have heard of these, the Zen tradition, the Tao tradition. And these are basically cultural flavors of exploring this non-dual state. These are the masters of going beyond the suffering mind, right?
And it's interesting because geographically they have similarities, no?
Mm-hmm.
In times and places, and it's...
No, there's no question about it. I mean...
Goes back for...
We could go deep here. We're going to save it for another podcast. But I can tell you this, that you can start to get into really crazy stuff like the East and the West, right? Because they always talk about the East and the West.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the East and West and you start to go, wait a sec, left and right brain? One side's analytical, one side's the creative abstract. Whoa, left and right, east and west, starting to get crazy, starting to get cray-cray.
So we'll leave it for another podcast.
Okay. We mentioned duality, which is subject-object, and non-duality, which is really the unified eternal self, the all is one. Right? That's mm-hmm. That's the deal.
The monad.
Yeah. And so the tools to focus the mind, there's a bunch of mind focused stuff. We had mentioned mantra, breath, the candle flame, which is pretty amazing. Chakras, focusing on chakras, mantras. And, mantra is basically, lots of people have heard of this now, of course, but a mantra is basically like a phrase, like a sacred utterance. It's a tool to focus the mind. Or japa, you hear of the japa mala.
Mm-hmm.
And japa is basically this meditative repartition of a mantra. So you're saying it, you're either loudly or silently, and silently is said to be much more powerful as it starts to gain mind momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good tip.
It is. So, you start, there's toning. One thing is when you're making sounds and toning, because there's power in the frequency.
The instrument.
Uh-huh. But you see, once you start to get into this process, what you're looking for is you want to be able to create a momentum where you release it and it actually continues in the phi spiral.
Nice.
So it continues to increment. And so it has to get more subtle, more subtle, more subtle, because then there's no drag to stop it.
Uh-huh.
And now you get this starts to circulate. So, there's different techniques. I mean, become still and find out that it's the mind that tells you that the mind is here. Don't be deceived and guard the mind. No? All these endless arguments about the mind, they're produced by the mind.
Oof.
Yeah.
They are.
Hop out.
Wow.
Tag, you're it.
Indeed. So what are we trying to do with the mind, our ego mind, or how do we work with it?
Well, if you're a ripe soul, you can just go straight to being and wake up right now.
From duality.
Yeah. Otherwise, our practice is, as we are describing, this is to hone the mind. So we're holding it in a focus on single points. This is, as we say, we're commandeering. So this is the idea of taking the large dispersed light and focusing it into a laser beam, like we mentioned a couple of podcasts back.
Yeah.
There's a vast difference between a preoccupied mind, by the way, and what could be referred to as an active mind. An active mind can be misinterpreted because someone says, I have an active mind because it's got a bunch of thoughts. But no, that's a preoccupied mind.
Mm.
An active mind is actually silent, aware, and choiceless. It's poised. It's different.
It's different.
Yeah. So someone says, this guy has an active mind. They're not quite grasping it because that's a preoccupied mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's distracted.
Distracted.
It's off from now.
We need to take the minds to the gym and start doing focused work.
Yes, do your reps. Sure, brother, you can say that. You know, whatever, remember, whatever you plant, this will bear fruit. This is so, so fundamental. The importance of you being vigilant of what's planted, not just by you, but who you allow to plant in your field. You know, remember, the world's coming for it. Everything you see on social media, the news, the movies, anything you interact with, that's what it's coming for. And as they say, whatever is planted in the mind, it bears fruit. This goes with the whole, what you sow, that you shall reap.
Yes, mm-hmm. Profound. Mm-hmm. This puts a very significant emphasis on our daily practice indeed. Mm-hmm. I heard once that the mind is the way in to get our soul.
The mind is the way in to get our soul. So let me see what you're referring to, because if you're referring to loosening the mind to turn it inwards, then that's what we're talking about. Because mm-hmm. you're reversing, as we said, you're dehypnotizing. Mm-hmm. And so you're softly redirecting the mind inwards. And as you do, the reason we say commandeering the vessel is because, like Ramana said, he said, pretending that you're going to get the mind to kill itself or the ego mind to kill itself is the same as pretending that you're going to make the thief the policeman and he's going to catch himself.
It ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. So you're softly turning it inwards and you're gaining this progression. But ultimately what you're going to do is you're going to dissolve it.
But is there an intention, as we said before, like everything is going for the mind, that there's some darker intentions where entities that want to get to your mind first and then to get into your soul or take it away?
Oh, you sound like a sci-fi movie now.
I know.
Okay.
But it's kind of like...
Well, look, different degrees of this because you're still describing the mind. So this is going to go black belt real quick, and I'm not sure if we need to reserve that for another podcast, only because there are thresholds to this type of content. For example, the whole concept of these out-of-body entities, they have nothing to do with the self. There is no separate. There is no other. So this is mind stuff. Mm-hmm. So all the stuff you're referring to, them getting your soul, it's all mind stuff. Mm-hmm. There's only one. What could be, where's the other to get it? So we're going black belt fast.
Yeah.
But the point is that at a certain level, you would just, recognize that because of the fertile field, there are other farmers coming to utilize this field because you aren't, because you don't have the control of it. It's like, you know, the same around here. I mean, you see land, and if there's land sitting there, someone's going to go hop on it and start cultivating it.
Yeah.
Right?
Very fast.
Around these parts? Right quick. So, you know, let's clarify it. The mind is a subtle field, and it's structured within you. And you can never actually go away from your true self. You can only become distracted, as we were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. This is with the mind field. And, you know, your attention, you lose your attention, your beingness. But the fact is that you can't actually lose it. It's always here. It's always now. So it's like you just go off in this little distraction. But what's real is you are here now, and that's all there is. So the basics, start to practice becoming aware right now. And this is where I think that this can get really powerful for an individual right now listening. Because you can go and start to practice becoming aware right now, because all you do is go, where is my awareness? Mm-hmm. Where is it? Mm-hmm. And then what can I place my awareness on that can increase my consciousness? So I can place my awareness and I can, what's my awareness on? Well, I'm being entertained. I'm droning out on a mindless video. Mm-hmm. Where could you place your awareness where it could become very valuable for you right now? This is the start. It doesn't matter who it is or where they are. And, you know, and so, and then as we talked about the basic inventory, you know, what's going on in the mind, mental content.
Absolutely. And so when you say inventory, or mental content. You recommend literally writing down the type of thoughts we have on a daily basis to be able to analyze how we're operating, right? Or like, is it literally?
This is a good, well, this could be a really good practice. I mean, I would say that that's a really good practice. If you were going to go take over a business right now, you'd probably want to start taking notes.
Definitely.
So bring your journal with you and start to get a hold of it. Because if this, obviously, anything that's new, it's like you start anything new and you walk into it. And as soon as you walk into it, you don't really comprehend all the different, nothing's entrained yet. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do? I mean, I think any of our listeners would say, I just take a few notes so that I can reference my notes and go back and go, hey, what was the alarm code? What was it? Right? What floor am I on? These are the notes. So take your notes.
Yeah. Right? Journaling, super important.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could consider that, like I said, this is kind of like, whether someone is a business oriented person or not, whatever it is that they were going to walk into, that they needed to understand it, they have to start figuring out the accounting of the deal. They need to start looking and going, where, what is this? What's happening? How does it work? This is what one has to do.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Basic principle, I would say, like anything that it's measured constantly, it can be improved much easier than if it's not measured.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. Great ground level there. And you know what? Actually, while we're here, why don't we swerve into the interesting points of the mental brainwave frequencies. Nice. This is also stuff that people are, you know, a lot of people have been hip to this for a while. And let's talk about how they relate to everyday experience. And we'll go into the basics, you know, because in order to access the system, we have to get beyond the limits of the analytical mind. Mm-hmm. This is like the barrier here. This is keeping one up in the brain. This is keeping one away from the abstract, leaning into the unknown, right? Because leaning towards safety is essentially clinging to the past. Mm-hmm. So you need to lean into the unknown. So you got to get past the subconscious mind. And so these frequencies are essentially like coordinates or operation zones for mind frequency. And so like in neuroscience, they've done so many experiments at this point, they're all over the place and they're all regarding these frequencies. And so, you know, if we talk about the main five frequencies are gamma, which is roughly, between 30 and 120 hertz or 120 cycles per second, mm-hmm. but generally about 40 hertz. And this is related to, and this is where, this is something that's very interesting, bro. This is related to the sympathetic state. Mm-hmm. So for example, when we start talking about the GHK, this is where there is this very significant active focus point.
Yeah.
And so, this is kind of like related to focus and memory. Mm-hmm. And then beta, which is a general operating state for people during the day. And beta is in the 12 to 30 hertz range. And, you know, the hertz is cycles per second. And we're talking about waves, these waves. And this is the conscious mind. And this is like normal waking state, you know, general concentration, you know, like alert mental state, but not gamma,
super
hyper,
focused.
We got to figure this out. What's going on? This is pushing into the sympathetic. This is pushing fight or flight zone.
Yeah.
Right. So, and beta is also, by the way, it's kind of like climbing up into like, you know, you're
warming
a little
up.
Advanced. You're a little mm-hmm. advanced from neutral. Mm-hmm. So you're not in, beta is not flow state.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So now we drop down. And as you see, the cycles per second are getting lower.
Yep.
And so we go into alpha state. And lots of people have heard of alpha state. And alpha is basically like 7.5 to 12 hertz. And this is really the gateway to the subconscious. This is where you're deeply relaxed. This is in light meditation, visualization, creativity. This is a keen learning stage. And this is the zone of flow state.
Okay.
And so because alpha is the gateway to theta. And theta is where basically this is open program mode. This is where you dive into subconscious zone. And so theta is like four hertz to like up to alpha. So like 7.5. And this is subconscious mind. So this is light sleep. This is, you know, different levels of REM sleep, as they've, as the contemporary calls it. Mm-hmm. You know, deep, this is like deeper, you know, deeper meditation, intuition, visual, you know, vivid visual imagery, astral plane type activities, right? And then there is delta state. And this is the deep. This is the deep, deep. So this is like from naught to 4 hertz. And this is like you're tapping into collective consciousness. This is deep sleep. This is dreamless state. This is where you commune with the divine. You go back home. This is a part of when people are in a balanced enough state where they can drop into this, because a lot of people almost don't get any of this because of their sedentary and overactive lives and overactive minds. Mm-hmm. So when they finally drop into it, it's like you just touch home base. The body dissolves. You don't know where it is.
Oof.
Right? It's delish.
Delicious. We are completely, complete instruments, frequency and vibration. Mm-hmm. So Jay, does this mean that whenever our brain is at one of these frequencies, we open different possibilities? Mm-hmm. I mean, can one choose intentionally in what frequency to be?
So this is a really good question, and this is kind of a part where we start to see that how do we work with these? Because ultimately, you shift the frequency, you're shifting the state. And so that shifting isn't always voluntary, because when someone is in a very, stressed state and you tell them, calm down, they're looking at you like, no, they're going to take
do
a swing
not
at you.
Tell me to calm down.
Exactly. How dare you? You know, and it's like, it's because you don't have a hold of it. It's like, I like to describe it like that it's on a pressure switch. Mm-hmm. And the higher the pressure, the only thing that's going to switch it is by dropping the pressure. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much that you'd say, auto command, drop to alpha state. No, you need to actually bring it down. So what do? We got to climb into the breath and we've got to bring it down.
Yes.
The idea here is very, very interesting, actually, because now you're talking about being malleable in the states. As soon as you start to get down into alpha, now you have the ability where if you drop too low, you fall asleep and step out of this place where you get malleable. So now the idea is that if you start to get too low, you need to gently pick up the frequency so you can stay in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And so now you want to linger in the sweet spot. You stretch it out. And that's where you get a ton of incredible work done. When I was going through my healing opportunity, mm-hmm. I was targeting and interacting extended periods where I was just dialing this state, and mm-hmm. it's really incredible and delicious. And this is part of what we want to do in our work. And, you know, I want to mention one thing that I think is going to be really beneficial for our listeners. And that is that there are two points, and this is also in Sacred Mastery School and what we work with in Sacred Dynamics, is we want to work with the low hanging fruit. And so there are two points in each of your cycles of day night where your system is automatically shuffling through this playlist of frequencies. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to sleep, you're basically going beta, alpha, theta. And then if you get and you drop into it, then you get this little sweet dip and you can drop into delta. And that's a beautiful progression. And so it's doing it for you. It's different if you're all stressed out. You're like, all right, man, I got to figure out a way to get into delta. It's like, okay, you know what? That'll come. But for now, once you go to sleep, start to practice lingering in those states. Mm-hmm. And the same with waking up. And I call these the sleep transfer and the wake transfer. And so when you start to master and work with these, you start working with a state that is there awaiting you. So you wake up, and instead of grabbing the phone and getting up and, running around and, you know, letting other self drive you around already, you need to start, you know, posturing so that you can take some time to stretch that state out. So that was it. There's a little nugget for our audience there.
Very, very nice nugget. Mm-hmm. Golden.
Golden.
I don't know about you guys, but this information awakens my curiosity and gives me energy to remain on the daily practice, definitely.
Yes, brother. Yes. You know what? The key is that you have nothing in this world to conquer. You have nothing to challenge and nothing to transcend apart from your mind. So instead of being caught in the scene, and this is, I love using this metaphor, because a lot of times what happens is we get caught in the scene, but you need to be the witness. This is that whole point of lingering in a conscious state. So as you know, the witness is never involved in the scene. That's why it's the witness.
Absolutely.
So the moment you get involved in the scene, you become part of the scene and miss the message. So through this lucid state of witnessing, this is what I'm talking about on these transfers. So you come to know with absolute certainty that nothing can trouble you but your mind.
Oof. Yeah, once again, I think if I get caught on the scene, does this mean then that the ego has once again taken the wheel?
Bingo. Exactly. So, you know what? Wow, what an incredible, this is just so significant. What
Absolutely.
We're talking about is the next for everyone to dial, just a soft dial. I mean, as we said, and I think it was a couple podcasts back, we said what we were talking about how who wouldn't benefit and what part of your life wouldn't benefit from showing up in flow state?
No question.
Right? Every venture you have, every poker that's in the fire, every relationship, it is blessed by getting into this state. Are you with me?
I am.
All right. So why don't we, I wanted to mention one cool thing about a Tibetan Buddhist monk, a traditional that was known as Tilopa. And there was this manuscript that was called the Six Nails, Tilopa's Six Nails. And basically he was referring to, and remember, this is like super sharp knife, how to handle a complex mind. And there's six points to it. And the first one is don't recall. Don't recall. That's bringing back up the memories. Don't recall. Number two, don't imagine. That's going up into the future with your memories. Don't think. Don't examine. Don't control. Rest.
Wow. Six nails of mm-hmm. Tilopas.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, could you explain the last one, the rest nail?
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be space for confusion.
Yeah, that's right. Because then you say, oh, good, I'm going to take a nap after all that deal.
Uh-huh.
So rest isn't laying around. Well, I mean, you could be, but rest isn't going to sleep. It's more directly being one's true self. So what he's referring to as rest is equipoise. This is flow state. So this is poised in full flow. It's total balance.
Mm.
That's what the point of rest is. There's no friction. So you're completely lucid and being.
And completely out of the way.
You got it.
Yeah.
You know, as we said earlier, this is the whole auto fund situation. These thoughts are on auto fund. Thoughts, objects, phenomena, auto fund. What does auto fund mean? It means they're just instantly getting funded with life force. And so, you know what? That won't do if you're here to commandeer this extremely powerful vessel, let me tell you. So you got to stop the auto fund. Mm-hmm. Stop writing checks. Then see who shows up at the door for funding. Knock, knock, knock. Hi, can we get some? Excuse me? No? I'm writing the checks here.
Indeed.
No, now we're getting somewhere.
Absolutely.
Right?
Nevertheless, I can understand if this way or practice provokes some sort of fear. No, we are programmed to work, to get things done. We believe we are the doers. So this is where trust comes in, no? Or faith, even.
Well, trust and faith are different, brother.
Okay.
So here's how I'm going to say this. Trust is surrender. You know what faith is? Faith is the expectation of a result.
Okay.
Imagine the expectation of a result. This is something that most people are, not in comprehension of. They go, you got to have faith, faith, faith. Yeah, you got to have faith, faith, faith.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And what are they talking about, though? You see, faith is the expectation.
Expectation.
Expectations cause suffering. It's not faith. It's that you trust in the source of your existence. This is surrender. This is the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually directly related to trust.
Okay, so stick with trust.
Yeah.
Stick with trust.
I mean, you can listen to George Michael if you want, but but stick to trust.
Yeah.
No? I've got a beautiful metaphor that I want to kind of maybe kind of wind down and finish off with that I think would be really, really cool. All right. It's really meaningful and it flows. And I think it can really kind of hit home and be significant. I like to say, consider this beautiful metaphor. And I did a recording on this and wrote a blog that people can check out, the written blog.
Absolutely.
On the site. And this is how it goes. And it's really meaningful and profound. And so I call it the refresh your living glass of water. And so picture a glass filled with dirty, murky water. If you try to look through the water, of course, it's all clouded and obscured.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see through it. Now, if you leave the glass to sit for some time and you just let it settle, and you just wait and watch, you see that the cloudiness and the particles start to settle down to the bottom of the glass,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the water at the top starts to clarify. And now you can start to see through the glass, through the water.
Yes.
But what happens when you shake up and agitate the water in the glass again? Right? What happens?
Mm-hmm.
The water, once again, gets all cloudy and murky, and this inhibits you to clearly see through the water once again.
Mm-hmm.
So consider this now. If you were to start to take a nice big pitcher of spring water, it's beautiful fresh water, and you just start pouring consistently this fresh water into the glass, of course, at first it starts to turn up the sediment at the bottom. And yet, by consistent pouring in of this fresh, clear water, ultimately, you displace the dirty sediment and the entire glass of water becomes clear and fresh.
Yeah.
Now, if you pick up the glass and agitate the water, what do you see? It all remains clear.
Yeah.
So it is that our inability under agitation, under stress, to see clearly, to remain calm and present, relates to overactive thought programs, and it relates to unreconciled subconscious memory content.
Mm-hmm.
And so, indeed, relaxing and letting go of the turbulent thoughts offers temporary clarity. But look, once agitated, once under stress, the content returns to the surface. So, as is true healing and awakening, it requires devotion and consistency to stream in clarity and freshness, ultimately to displace all that's being clung to, all these patterns. And it requires a willingness to accept and learn from the past.
Definitely.
Because a lot of people are avoiding. Imagine this. Everything's now, yet people are avoiding the past.
What? But that's what it is.
Isn't that incredible?
It is.
So, you know, this clarity and freshness, it can only be found when, Ro?
Right now.
Right now. Always in the present. In presence. And presence, it's in the heart. And so one becomes absent in the mind. This is the purpose of breath work, as we discussed in our last podcast. This leads us to meditation because the past is memory and the future is imagination. But what's imagination, you say? Some think that it's creative flow, and yet this is not actually so.
Hmm.
Imagination means images in motion. And where do the images come from? The images come from the memories.
Yeah.
And so to actually be in a flowing state of fresh and new, to be in creativity, one must be fully present in the now. Now you're drawing from the eternal formless fountain.
The spring water.
The spring water, effortlessly flowing with consciousness itself.
Very well said, friend.
Thank you, brother.
Very nice. Very clear.
Like the clear spring water.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Great metaphor. And we're about to start...
Winding down
and start closing
this. We got so many things to...
Magnificent.
It's magnificent. Thank you, brother. I feel really moved by this piece because it's so relevant. If someone is willing to take the time to listen to this, you're going to find that it's so relevant. It's so significant. And it can be applied when, Ro?
Now.
And
always.
Always now. So you're wondering, you're like, I'm not sure when I'm going to start to meditate. And here's my answer to that. When would now be a good time?
the answer is clear. So my friend, you have really amazing tips for advancing in the meditation practice. Why don't we give these tips to our audience?
Sure.
No?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that some of the beauties that we talked about had to do with starting with the activities that you're already in, that you're already finding your concentration and flow. You know, we talked about the surfing and the art and these different forms. And it's not just those. People find it in different ways. There's carpenters that find it when they're swinging a hammer. There's so many ways that you find it. So observe the state, revisit it, and start to bring it up in your meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, start to bring and tap in because now you have a reference. And, you know, it's important to commit to a regular practice. And so your regular practice is something that you want to be able to achieve and compound. So instead of saying I did an hour on Monday and then Tuesday, Wednesday, I was too busy. And then Thursday I did 40 minutes and then Friday I did 20 minutes. You're much better off to hit 20 minutes every single day.
Absolutely.
Because there's a progression here.
The consistency.
So don't overcommit. Like I've mentioned before, don't try and start where you wish you were. Start where you are. And be honest with yourself. And don't force it. You know, meditation, it's a spontaneous state. And, you know, and it arrives with you, this state arrives with the process. And then increase your meditation, the amount of time gradually. And just stay committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
So find a space, be in that space, draw upon that experience that you have when you're surfing, when you're doing your thing, when you're doing your pottery, when you're doing your whatever, and tap back into that space. And, you know, learn to sit comfortably and allow the sensations. And you're going to find that you want to be bringing this. You know, first you find a private place. It's going to help you to feel comfortable with it, but don't stop there. You know, learn to gently bring your practice outside and into the rest of your life. So I don't just go, the only time I meditate, if I don't have my spot, then that's it. I can't do it. It's like, no, you need to bring the spot everywhere.
Yeah. But it's a step.
So it's a step. Start there and then start to bring it out. Start to increment it. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned in our last very beautiful episode, the breath is the bridge. So, you know, continue to practice conscious breath and surrender to heart center and watch and allow for the thoughts to dissolve. And if there's an abstract thought form, use that as an opportunity to see it and watch it as it dissolves instead of funding it into a little mini movie. And then seek and experiment with new techniques. So, you know, we mentioned there's so many different ways. And, you know, in Sacred Dynamics, we kind of have a really beautiful and malleable way of bringing different aspects of someone's life to life in meditation instead of going, well, you're going to get a certificate if you sit and do this. And it's like, yeah, but there's different ways to achieve this.
Yeah.
And so being creative with it is also compounding flow state. So starting to learn how to be creative with how you understand meditation and how to bring it up mm-hmm. is leaning in, as we mentioned. And, you know, start to bring your meditations with you, practice being present and lucid with your breath throughout the day. And one of the beauties that we touched on was the wake and sleep transfers.
Yes.
Those are low hanging fruit. Don't skip them.
Everyday opportunity.
Yeah.
No. Amazing.
Why don't we finish real quick just by saying, because I think this is just to put the cherry on the top.
Nice.
Is that what we're talking about here, what we're communicating about, this isn't some kind of like this thing that's not for me. I'm not into that. As we said before, every single aspect of your life is blessed by flow state. And so when would now be a good time to tap into flow state?
Only now. 100%. Wow. So, dear friends, these really are great tips to consolidate your personal daily practice. I strongly recommend them. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jay, wow, what a great episode. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, me as well.
If you guys liked what you hear, please share our work with your friends and family. It might help, you mm-hmm. know. And in this episode, we've covered many, many great topics. You know, we talked about what the mind is. We went through some of the mind training basics, talked about the mind and frequency, about mind versus self, what is meditation and who and what is it for, the basics of meditation, some history and traditions, the benefits and goal of meditation, different ways to practice it, and some great tips and golden nuggets for our dearest listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We really hope you guys enjoyed it, and we encourage you to engage with us. As you know, our mission in Sacred Dynamics and purpose is to support the restoration of humanity through the healing and awakening process.
Yes.
The true commitment starts with oneself and then radiates outwards to all beautiful souls.
There it is. And you know, Sacred Dynamics is currently, we're currently developing our new course offerings and some really cool stuff. Very excited. The Sacred Mastery School, which is an infusion of this sacred path and the guidance to reveal and embody these flowing, the heart space and what we're referring to and, you know, revealing one's true identity and, you know, all aspects of one's life, as mentioned, are blessed by this process. And also, you know, I currently work on Zoom on one-on-ones and, you know, there may be some spaces potentially in person. If someone's down here in the Baja, we could connect. It's such beautiful and powerful work. And, you know, the group live web course, it's coming together and maybe some live events and some beautiful things on the horizon.
So, yeah, absolutely. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you like what you're listening, we encourage you to share this with your closest relations. And please connect with us through Instagram at Sacred Dynamics with 1D or visit our website at sacreddynamics.com, 1D, or as well, you can join our Telegram channel at Sacred Dynamics, 1D.
1D, thank you for listening to the Sacred Dynamics podcast. Until next time. Stay connected through conscious breath and grounded presence. Namaste.
Namaste.